Welcome to the Hey Soul Sister podcast, where Mel Histon will guide you through life's big questions and bring you one step closer to doing this crazy journey as best you can.
Hey Soul Sister, let me ask you this. Are you a morning person or a night person? An early riser, ready and raring to go at the break of day, or maybe a night owl with your energy levels, attention and focus peaking later in the evening or all hours of the night? As much as I try to be a morning person, I'm pretty much always a night owl. Except when I was like 9 years old and I used to get my butt out of bed early on a Saturday morning to watch the Thunderbirds. Let's just cut to guess. I've got Nadine Brede from 8 Recruitment and Belinda Mae Smith, who is the Chief People Officer of Pacific International Insurance. Now, I've actually had these guys on the podcast before talking about horrible bosses, and I invited them to come back again today because they have been hounding me about this concept, which they say makes all of us a better, more productive person during the day. And I'm going to go back to Thunderbirds quickly, because did you guys ever wake up early for Thunderbirds?
If I woke up early, I'd watch it, but I wouldn't wake up for it.
Really?
No, it was weird.
With Virgil and Miss Penelope
No.
What about you, Belle? Were you a Thunderbirdser?
Not a Thunderbirdser, but I definitely would wake up early for Rage.
Oh, yes.
Yes, okay. Yes. I did wake up early for Rage. Sisters, if you're listening and you know me personally, as many of you do, I'm kind of renowned for being a bit of a sleepyhead among my friends, much to their disapproval apparently. And I have always been that way. I've actually always been a total night owl. I struggle to actually get tired at night quite often, and very much like to have a slow, easy slide into the morning when I wake up. As I mentioned earlier, Bill and Nads have both been at me in the nicest possible way about this concept and a book called The 5 AM Club, so much so that I wanted to have a chat and pull that apart a little bit, find out what it's all about and whether if it's going to persuade me to have early mornings.
We will.
Because at the moment I'm not convinced.
We'll get there.
So the book, The 5 AM Club, it is written by a gentleman who is a business coach of very successful business people, billionaires, called Robin Sharma. It sold 15 million copies around the world, so obviously it's connecting with some people. Belle, give me a rundown. What's it all about?
Firstly, it's not literally about getting up at 5 a.m. It's all about owning your time and mastering your life. So it's making the best of the hours and the minutes that you have every day by getting into a routine that's productive and that actually helps you, from a holistic heart, mind, body, soul perspective, make the best of your days, your weeks, your months, and your life. The book follows two people, a burnt out businesswoman and an aspiring artist, through a bit of a personal discovery journey. And through that journey, Robin Sharma describes these techniques and tools, which, as you mentioned, he actually does do with his billionaire clients, that can help them master their areas of expertise and interest and master their time.
I think that's something that a lot of us want, is to master our time. There are just not enough hours in the day.
Yeah, and obviously we hear that all the time, but we experience that ourselves. All of us have busy lives and nature hates a vacuum. So whether you are juggling kids, family, work, we all fill our days and we all talk about wanting to be more productive, or if I just had an extra day a week or an extra day off a week to get stuff done.
An extra hour or two a day.
Exactly. Mm. So it's all about owning that time. The principle of getting up at 5 a.m. though does speak to getting up with the sun and using that first hour of the day, carving it out just for yourself, for some exercise, for some reflection, for some reading, some learning, some growing. So you set yourself up every day for the best possible day.
Want to save your soul? Review us on Apple Podcast.
And what about you, Nadine? How did you come across the whole concept of the 5 a.m. club?
Well, I think Stevie and I have been walking to the beach.
So Stevie's your hubby?
Stevie's my hubby. We've been walking to the beach 4 mornings a week now for about 8 months and absolutely loving how it makes us feel. Just grabbing a coffee, watching the sunrise. And then I was at Newcastle Airport over Christmas and saw this book called The 5 a.m. Club. I thought, oh, cool. It'll give me some tips on how to make sure I get up at 5 every morning. And I didn't realise what I was getting into with the book. And I text you, I think I was about a chapter in, going, you need to read this book. Like, you know, Belle's trying to get me to read it. She's giving me a copy. There's no chance. But I think we've both been banging on, you need to read it. It's already had a huge impact on my life personally and in the business. It's amazing.
Really? So how so?
I think it's giving me discipline And he talks a lot about discipline.
Which is interesting because I've known you a long time and you're a bit of a free spirit and probably not necessarily a really like a process driven.
Oh, geez, no.
And I get it because I'm a bit the same.
Yeah. And I actually like being a bit disciplined, even if it is just for an hour. But he makes you your head free. He's really big on staying away from distraction of the morning. It's not just getting up at 5 a.m. That's not just the answer. It's breaking it down, not wasting your time on social media, watching the news, doing mindless stuff. The 20-20-20 format is what works really well for me. So that's 20 minutes of hard exercise where you're sweating and breathing deeply, 20 minutes of meditation, and then 20 minutes of listening to a podcast or learning.
Are you actually a 5 a.m. riser?
No, I actually make it work so that I can get my coffee at 6 a.m. And getting up at 5 doesn't work. So I get up at 5:30, get down to the beach, get my coffee for 6, meditate, walk home, and then do my podcasting as I'm getting ready for work. So I make it work for my lifestyle. It doesn't have to be your strict 20-20-20, but I get all of that within probably an hour and a half.
So your learning element is listening to podcasts and learning something new.
Yep.
What about meditation? Because you're probably not someone who has traditionally been a meditator.
No, I've got some apps. So I downloaded Headspace and Calm and I sit there and watch the sunrise while I'm meditating. It's beautiful.
I did actually do a little bit of reading about the book. And
you Googled it?
Yeah, okay, I Googled. What I found interesting, because I've been going, why 5 a.m.? Why 5 a.m.? Why couldn't you just do that when you wake up at 7? And I think from what you're both saying, you don't necessarily have to get up at 5 a.m., but from what I read, the whole premise is that at 5 a.m. in the morning, the world is generally still.
Mm.
And so you're not going to get distracted by noise and life. And it's about taking that time to quiet your mind. And
I think he also talks about do something that not everyone else is doing, like be ahead of the pack. Not everyone's getting up early. And that's a great way to even start the day. Do something what others aren't doing.
It's a lot about mindset. And I think by 6:30, 7 a.m. at the latest of a morning, I'm in a mindset whilst a lot of other people are still getting out of bed. So by the time we get home at 7, we're getting kids ready for school. We're checking in about what's happening for the day. This 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. is the only time that we have to carve out for ourselves to get in that mindset, to process stuff that's happened through the night, to process what's happening ahead of the day. And it is the calmest, quietest time of the day, no matter where you are. And just knowing that the rest of the world is asleep and this is my time to process my stuff. And the meditation can actually just be sitting there in silence. It doesn't have to be getting to that meditative space. It can actually just be sitting for 20 minutes in complete solitude. And not many of us get that opportunity in our day to just sit in a space by ourselves. It's just for us.
Let's get soulful on social media. Search the Sister Code Facebook page and follow us on Instagram.
And Belle, I know you had mentioned to me that part of your 20-minute routine is journaling. What do you actually journal about? What are you writing?
Oh, secret scrolls.
It depends on the day. So what I do is I set a timer because I want to actually sit there for the whole 20 minutes and just see what comes up. Sometimes it's what I'm grateful for. And some days that is really freaking hard. I go like baseline, like I'm grateful that I can breathe.
Yeah, wow.
You know, or I'm grateful to live in a safe town because I might be in a particular headspace where I think I'm actually not grateful for much and I'm so hard done by and, you know, everything sucks at the moment. So sometimes I go just purely into gratitude. Other times I'm journaling about my hopes and dreams. What do I want to achieve in the next 3 years? What wins have I had? I sit there and just let it come up and see what comes up. And that's part of what's really interesting about the journaling, what is in my mind. Sometimes I might write a letter to someone who's really hurt me, things I want to get out on paper.
I like it. Write down a letter to someone who's hurt you with no real intention of sending it.
That's the key.
So I know that I joke about being resistant to getting up early, even though I joke about it. I actually really do struggle to get up in the morning. I'm really tired and sluggish. And it's interesting, a few years ago, I was having a chat with Lisa Mills, who was a fitness coach at the time, and she now manages fitness coaches for Genesis. And I remember talking to her, saying to her, do you know what? I just struggle to get to those early classes. And if I do happen to come and drag me out of bed and go, come on, let's go do a 6 a.m. class, I'm sluggish, I'm tired, I don't work out at my best. But if I go to the gym at 5:30 in the afternoon, I'm on fire. I'm literally going hard. I've got so much energy and I feel amazing. And Lisa said something to me which I have never forgotten. So Elise told me about that everybody has a biological chronotype. So everybody is biologically programmed with a certain body clock. She sent me an article which talked about four key chronotypes. So one of them is the dolphin, there's the lion, the bear and the wolf. The dolphin is a light sleeper. He's often diagnosed with insomnia. And then there's, okay, well, if you're a dolphin, and there's different other characteristics there. And it says, okay, well, you should probably get up at this time. You should exercise at this time. There's the lion who tends to wake up early with lots of energy. And by early evening, they're exhausted. There's the bear. The bear's internal clock tracks the rise and fall of the sun. They need a full 8 hours of sleep at night. And there's the wolf, which is what I am. So a wolf has a hard time waking up early and is most energetic in the evenings. When I talk to people, they have dinner, they have a shower, that's it, they're relaxed and ready for the night. I'm like seriously wide awake. And sometimes I'll go to bed and I'm just kind of lying there, just waiting to go to sleep. Started taking magnesium and melatonin to kind of hurry that along a little bit. But I honestly have so much more energy in the evening. I want to exercise at night, walk at night, read at night, do all of that at night. It takes me a while to get going in the morning. How do you think for someone like me that I could adapt to the 5 a.m. club? Is it just you force yourself to get up early, or is it you find a different way to incorporate that?
I think there's a reason why not a lot of people get up at 5 a.m. and that's because it's hard. In winter when it's cold and it's dark, it's not easy. So firstly, you're not the only one, and it takes time is the other thing. So Robin Sharma talks in the book about it taking 66 days because you're forming new habits.
66 days.
Yeah.
Oh my.
Yeah, 66 days to form any new habit actually, not just getting up early. But if that is your body's natural state, Mel, it's going to take time to disrupt that. And that's hard. So given that it's hard and it doesn't come naturally to you, you need to find ways to kind of hack that a bit. Things like one, just appreciating it's going to take 66 days. And if you miss a couple of days, like I miss most Saturdays and Sundays, yes, I'll be honest, there's no way I'm getting up at 5 a.m. after I've been out for a late night or something like that.
Yep.
Finding an accountability buddy. My partner Craig has always been a natural early riser, so that makes it a lot easier. But also having clothes out by the side of the bed, putting the alarm not right next to you where you can snooze it, whatever those hacks are that work for you, I think that gives you the best chance of giving it a go. I sleep with the blind up, so that the natural light in the summer comes in, so my body is starting to wake up at that time naturally. And whilst the first few days when I tried this, I was exhausted, I found it only took a few days and I was starting to wake up naturally pretty quickly. Wasn't happy about it.
But do you remember when we were doing heaps of workout at the gym and every time we didn't want to go, we'd say at the end, you never regret a workout. I'm the same with that. I don't want to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning. My dogs make me. They love it. But you get such a high from it, and every time we do it, Stevie and I are walking back home going, we just didn't regret that. And I, in my mind, I could kind of trick my mind going, I am going to be so angry if I don't do this. I'm going to regret it more if I don't. I'd never regret doing it.
So you're both doing the 5 a.m. club thing. What do you think it's given you?
Going back to my buzzword for 2020, it's discipline. And what else he talks about in the book is if you can master certain areas of discipline in your life, it makes it easier to master another area of discipline. So I've been really, really good at staying off social media in the morning. And it's amazing. So I've mastered that discipline. Now I'm going to master the next one. Robin Sharma talks about having cold showers every morning. It's a discipline. And I think if I can structure my work day and my personal life around discipline, it's working.
Want to fill your soul with more? Go to thesisterco.com.
What about you, Belle?
For me, it's two things. Naz talks about the structure of the workday. So it's beyond just the first hour of the morning. He actually talks through a whole structure of your day. So one of them is for the first 90 minutes of every day for 90 days, focusing on the number one thing you need to get done in work or life. So whether it's walking to your office, shutting the door and just focusing on that thing, spending time in the car, driving home from work, listening to a podcast rather than the radio or favourite music channel. So taking all those opportunities throughout your day, putting some real disciplined structure in place. So that's been really helpful for me.
I found it a little overwhelming what he talks about for your structure of your day, but if you can master bits of it.
I'd like to master the bit. He suggests having 2 90-minute remedial massages
a
week.
Oh, stop it.
That sounds like heaven. The second part of it for me was just on a wellness level. Like probably all of the people or many of them listening to this podcast and most of the population, I was frequently just getting overwhelmed anxious. I had never really experienced anxiety until the last few years. And the days that I found myself in an anxious state for days on end, they were the days I hadn't got up. So if I missed a couple of days in a row, it really impacts the anxiety that I experience.
Yeah,
so
I agree.
Getting up, exercising, as Nan said, it's the connection with something bigger, and it literally has improved my well-being and my mental health.
Mm. And I even think at work, I wonder if the girls can tell, like I feel sluggish, I'm not as focused, I'm not on, and they listen to this if they can tell. but I can certainly
I'll send
tell.
It to them.
I feel more tired getting up at 7 than if I get up at 5 and have an amazing routine. So I've got a list. I actually started with a list of about 20 quotes from the book. I don't think I've highlighted a book as much as what I have with this, but I'm going to start with two of my favourite. One that got me straight up was, "Excuses are seducers, your fears are liars, and your doubts are thieves." Loved that.
I love that, "your fears are liars."
It's awesome. It absolutely grabbed me.
And your doubts are?
Thieves.
That's so true. Your doubts are thieves. They rob you of joy.
Yeah. And there's gems like that all through the book.
Okay, so what was the other quote that you said you love?
"A challenge is hard at first, messy in the middle, and gorgeous at the end."
So maybe I need to set myself a challenge to give it 60 days of a 5 a.m. club start.
We'll be your accountability buddies.
Yeah, we're there. But also don't be so hard on yourself. Like I think Belle and I, we're all busy. And you make it work for you. So I try my best to do 5 days a week. I try so hard. It's not always 5 days a week. And it's not always a strict 20-20-20. It's not always I jog every morning. But at least you're doing something. Sticking to the routine and sticking to the discipline.
So in terms of that quote, so we'll just repeat it again.
"All change is hard at first."
Yes.
"Messy in the middle and gorgeous at the end."
We love gorgeous at the end. But yeah. I wonder what that, if I set the challenge to adopt the 5 a.m. club habits, well, I wonder what messy in the middle is. Is that where
he talks about it, like he talks about breaking it down into 22 days. So it's a 66-day habit cycle. The first 22, I can't remember what he said. I'll have to reread the book. And then the second 22, then the last 22 are gorgeous.
Well, I think the middle 22 is where it's a bit monotonous. So it's hard in the first 22, but there's a bit of novelty about it.
First 22 days of the challenge, it's hard.
Yeah, it's hard because you're getting up, but you're curious and you're, what can this do for me? And you're a bit open to it. And then in the middle 22 days, it's just, okay, same stuff, different day, I'm still tired. And then the last 22 days is where it starts to get gorgeous because you start to notice you've got more energy, or people start to notice you're in better moods, or you're not as moody, or you're more creative, whatever it is that comes up for you.
Well, as you both know, and any of you out there listening know, I'm always on the never-ending search to live the best, most joyous life that I can. So I'm forever looking for what it is that can help me improve my quality of life. So I'm wondering if there's anybody out there, if you're listening in to the podcast today and you're keen to come and go on a 5 a.m. 66 days journey, shoot me through an email to melissa@thesistercode.com, and maybe we can all do that together, breaking it down into 22-day lots because apparently that's easier to master.
22-day lots, sometimes maybe not weekends.
Fair enough.
Yeah, so not a strict 22.
Okay.
I'm making my own rules here as I kind of do.
Yeah. They're working for you.
Yeah.
But if anybody wants to come along and join that, because again, the girls have been chatting to me about this for at least a month. Belle has actually handed me the book and said, read. but they're so convinced that really this is a life changer and a game changer for how we can calm our lives, work more productively and live more joyously.
And Jenna, from you were talking about before, the creativity side of things, I think because I've given my, he talks about bandwidth actually, your bandwidth in your brain, and there's only a certain amount that you can handle. And I think because I've taken away so much with watching the Today Show with Carl in the morning, or, you know, listening to terrible radio and just sitting there on social media, my brain is so much freer. And I've actually had some really cool little ideas for the business lately that I haven't had in forever. And I honestly think it's from this.
My final pitch
yes.
to you and to everyone listening is there are so many demands on us. Everybody wants a piece of us. And in this book, Robin Sharma is handing back the power to you. And the simple philosophy is own your mornings and elevate your life.
Own your mornings and elevate your life. Okay. Who wants to come Boom. On this? who wants to come on this 5 a.m. club challenge with me to
own your mornings,
and elevate your life. Okay, again, shoot me an email at melissa@thesisterk.com if you're keen to come along with me. And thank you so much, girls. As much as it freaks me out, to be honest, the thought of having to commit to something like that, I'm willing to give it a go because you two are so convincing. And Nadzi's just indicating to me she wants to finish off this podcast with a final quote. Take it away, Nads.
So my Mel, who works for me, I've got her reading at God Lover, and she said to me, oh, you're going to do this podcast with Mel. This is my quote that got me hooked, and I totally forgot about it. And it's, too many among us die at 30 and are buried at 80. And it's so true.
So we're not living between 30 and 80. Mm. We're just getting by. Mm-hmm. Time to live, girls. Mm-hmm. Time to live the best we can. Thank you, Soul Sisters, for listening in. And thank you, you two beautiful Soul Sisters, for coming and for sharing that.
Thank you. See you at 5.
Oh, Jesus.
Or 5:30. 5-ish.
See you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Hey Soul Sister with Mel Histon. What would help you on your crazy life journey? Email Melissa at thesistercode.com.